Welcome to the SMY podcast. We are live, I guess live is the right word for a podcast, in the South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center, actually on stage. We're here today because the Performing Arts Center is celebrating 20 years of its life, of its existence. And joining me on that stage is Rachel Abraham, the executive director. Welcome.
Thank you, Dan. I'm glad to be here.
Great. I'm so glad to have you. So describe, if you could, for me, the space that we're in. I find it hard to believe anyone in South Milwaukee hasn't been here, but they may not fully appreciate what they're looking at when they are here.
Right. Well, it's easy for us because we're sitting right on the stage, center stage, and we're looking out into the audience, and of course no one's here, but there's 786 empty seats right now, and this fabulous stage behind us.
It's more than a stage, right? I mean, I guess for a combined high school campus, it is more than what you normally find in a high school.
In most high schools, you're absolutely correct. Yep, and it was a long time in coming. But it is a full proscenium stage with, you know, rigging, all the bells and whistles. It's 20 years old, so it's not all of the new things, but a lot of the old things that we started with are still working great. We've got the lights, the sound, the acoustically designed space, comfortable seating, and a great, great feel to this space.
Yeah, I think the acoustically, you know, it is fantastic. I've been here during a performance. It sounds, there's not a bad seat here. And underneath us, right, is a full pit for an orchestra.
Right, an orchestra pit. Mm-hmm.
How did we come to have a performing arts center like this in South Milwaukee?
It's a great question. It was a long time in coming. But we were one of the first in the area in southeastern Wisconsin to decide to actually make this happen. So in 2002, the community decided to forward and pass a referendum to build a brand new 6th grade through 12th grade campus. And within that campus, this theater was included in the proposal. And there was a push along with the fitness center, among other things. Mm-hmm. But there was a big push for there to be a specialized performance space for students who are in band, orchestra, musical theater productions, just as there are specialized playing fields for kids who are in sports or swimming, you know, football fields, all those kinds of things. So there was a strong support by the community to include this in that referendum. And there was a lot of forward thinking at that time. And we've been able to be the beneficiaries of that decision now for 20 years.
Mm. You are a product of South Milwaukee schools,
yes,
correct?
Yes, I'm a product of South Milwaukee and also a product of two high school music teachers. So my parents were music educators. And so music was a big part of our lives growing up. And of course, this place wasn't built until after I was a young mom myself. So I didn't go to school here when this place was built. But our shows in South Milwaukee when I was growing up here were performed in what was then called the cafetorium. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously cafeteria and auditorium combined, and that's now the middle school multi-purpose room.
Yeah, yeah, which I haven't been there when they're actually using the stage or anything, but doesn't hold a candle to the space we're in now. What did you do? Were you in theater? What did you do?
I was not in theater per se. I played the trumpet. Mm-hmm. I was expected to pick an instrument. And so my dad wanted me to play the oboe because as a director, it was hard to get oboe players.
Okay. helped
Lots
cause.
Of trumpet players. Yeah. But I didn't want anything to do with the oboe personally. So trumpet, I was in the pit. It wasn't a true pit. It was folding chairs in front of the stage in the multi-purpose room. Mm-hmm. So I played trumpet throughout my whole, you know, middle school, high school career, and then a little bit into college. Never performed on a stage like this. Mm-hmm. But really appreciated the arts and probably went to my first symphony concert when I was 12 years old.
Speaking of a space like this, I don't know if folks fully appreciate the architecture that's gone into here. Well, not only is it acoustically lovely, but it's attached to the music wing of the school so that if the director of the orchestra or the choir wants to have their students here, they can simply walk down a hall, grab their equipment, which mm-hmm. are in these full, huge lockers that they can and feed right into the backstage and right on yes, the main stage.
Exactly. It was a great design from that standpoint because they have access to this really anytime that they want to have a rehearsal here leading up to a concert, or if they just want to send a couple of kids maybe before music contest time to come mm-hmm. in here and rehearse. Because the acoustics are so lovely, they get to have that special experience here in this space. Mm. Also, there's a scene shop attached right behind the theater where we're sitting, and that's also connected to our loading dock. So when we have touring artists or anything that's being delivered, large set pieces, any construction that we're doing for our musicals, that takes place in our scene shop, mm-hmm. and that's just directly behind us. So it's very convenient to have that.
Sure, and just that space alone, too, it is a huge workshop. You can have very large pieces that go high up into the sky, which, you know, I think my high school probably did it in a classroom, right?
Right.
Or if there was a workroom, it wasn't designed with that intention in mind, so it might not have been able as capable as this space is.
Right, and it's great because the students get involved not only on stage as performers, but also behind the scenes in the scene shop, for example, as carpenters, painters, prop masters, sourcing and decorating props, creating props out of their imaginations. And it's another way for students to get involved in the arts, in theater, and be part of something that's, they're basically starting from scratch.
Yeah. You know, when I was here doing a podcast about the spring musical, I chose to talk about the tech crew, which was led by your full-time tech person. And I got to interview students about their role in creating what was, it was Legally Blonde last year. You know, and the level of involvement and the level of dedication. You talk about inventing something from your mind. One student was telling me that she made a chandelier out of pool noodles.
Right.
That she said, everyone said looked like an octopus. But on stage, it looked like a chandelier. Just that kind of creativity. I thought that that group would be like a niche club or a group, but it wasn't. It was students from the theater program here really weaves in almost any student who wants to, but it seems to really touch almost every corner of the school.
It does. We currently don't offer a class in audiovisual production per mm-hmm. se. It's part of some of the music classes will offer elements of that, but we don't have a department, for example, and a lot of schools don't. So while I'm not a teacher, our tech director, Nick, is not a teacher. He's a mentor to students, and he's a supervisor for them when they're coming together after school to build the set. And he obviously supervises the construction, and some of the older students who've been with us for a few years, they in turn will help, you know, mentor some of the younger and newer students to the program. It's a very it's very social environment. It's a very welcoming and supportive environment. And, you know, not everybody wants to be the star. Not everybody wants to sing the solo. Not everybody wants to read the lines or be an actor. Mm. But they want to be a part of that event, that process. So it's great that we can provide those opportunities.
Yeah. I met a student last year who was front of house actor, but had always done tech, and she'd kind of told me how she was torn because she missed all the coordination and work and deadlines of the tech crew, but then was really enjoying being in front of stage too. Mm-hmm. That experience of being able to do both at such a high level is really unique to South Milwaukee, I think. Well, maybe not unique. It's special.
It's special.
To have here. Yeah.
Right. I agree. There. I mean, more schools are proposing auditoriums. Some schools are very fortunate to have them. We've been incredibly fortunate, in my opinion, to have had this, to be one of the first in the area and to have had this for 20 years already. Mm-hmm. We've learned a lot over the years, and we've been able to touch, you know, just that many more lives have been impacted because we've had this special place. Not to detract from all those who came before and had their productions in the cafetorium. Mm-hmm. Their experience was just as valid and just as special in a way. But one of the things, I know we're going to touch on this, it being our 20th anniversary, one of the shows in our lineup this year is an alumni musical theater cabaret. So people who are South Milwaukee graduates and have gone on and started families or moved away, a lot of them are coming together for a very special alumni production in January. So they want to come back. They want to be a part of this because it was such a big part of their lives when they were students here. They're excited about it. And that's really interesting to me because I think it's going to be a really interesting show. And these people are going to get to kind of relive some of the things that they missed about their high school years.
Yeah. I hadn't considered that. And I knew that show was coming up, but that this isn't a, you made a comparison to sports. This would be an alumni game or a, you know, a flag football game.
Exactly.
But maybe actually better than that because, unlike athletic skills, you know, acting and musical skills can grow the older you get.
Yes.
As you mature. That's going to be really interesting.
It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Maybe you could tell me what a performing arts center is and what it has to do with being in a high school and how you merge those two things together.
Absolutely. We're considered, South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center is considered a school-affiliated performing arts center. So obviously, as you mentioned, we are part of the school district of South Milwaukee, and we are a professionally managed theater within the school district. So we operate year-round. Mm-hmm. We have our own staff. We're all school district employees, the three of us. And we serve the school district first and foremost. So all of its events, from fifth grade band concerts on up to high school musicals, they get priority on our calendar. They get priority for space here in the theater. And the other times that the theater is available, we utilize that space for things like our performing arts series, which is a set of curated shows. I get to choose those shows with input from the community and make those available as entertainment and or educational enrichment to our community. And then thirdly, we host other shows for renters. So renters who need a specialized performance venue, who might be presenters, promoters, they might be members of other arts organizations like Nightwind Ensemble. Mm-hmm. They might, for example, we've got a bodybuilding competition renter.
Really?
And we've had we're going to have a wedding here in November. So it just depends on, you know, what the organization is, what their needs are, and if we can be a good fit for them.
Yeah.
So we're very active from a rental standpoint, which also helps bring in needed revenue, which offsets the burden on the school district.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And kind of about that. So the rec department and the school district are run out of two different lines of budget, or one's Fund 10 and one's Fund 80. 10 is what teachers are paid out of and the programming of the school happens.
Correct.
And then Fund 80 is special for the community.
All the recreation.
Center. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that rec department fund covers the recreation department activities, the fitness center, the before and after school program, and then the performing arts center as well.
So you're actually helping the taxpayers when you bring and renters and other things and sell tickets to events.
Right.
And helps pay for those.
We have a substantial amount of earned revenue from ticket sales and other programs, as well as contributed revenue from donations, fundraisers, sponsorships, grants.
See, so, yeah, I mean, as a nonprofit, right, you're still running a business and and trying to give back to the community that way.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the 20th anniversary. 20 years, I know you have a special lineup this year. We're in it. Talk about how we're celebrating it.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of discussion leading up to this, and there's so many things we want to do and want to celebrate, and we have to sometimes check in with ourselves because we're just a small staff and a small team. But we wanted to go big with our opening show for the season, and we kicked things off this past month with the world-famous Glenn Miller Orchestra back in September. And we had a great audience, almost a full house, and a really enthusiastic audience, and a great concert put on by the Glenn Miller Orchestra, which is one of the most active touring big bands in the world.
It's venerable. Right? Yes. I mean, since the passing of Glenn Miller, it's been going.
Right. It's been going. They've got a great story. The band has a great story to tell, and they're remarkable performers. They're on the road all the time. And fortunately, the timing of their tour and our schedule availability, it all worked out, and we were able to get them and present them as part of our series.
We talk about the ties to South Milwaukee, right? There wasn't one specifically there, but I was at that show, right? And the brand new bass player for the band is from Sun Prairie, right? And,
right.
And one of the saxophonists is a gentleman from Chicago, right? And
yes.
So in a little bit of a way, they were coming home. At least those folks were. Yeah. I was thinking that at some point, there are a lot of ties in South Milwaukee, but that at some point, someone's going to hit it big, and that's because they got their start here on your stage. That must be a remarkable
Yeah, there's
thing.
A number of alumni that have gone on to do really great things, you know, performing with orchestras, you know, symphony orchestras as professional musicians, producers, directors, musicians, you know, with bands. And one of the other projects that we just completed was a video to commemorate our 20th anniversary. Mm-hmm. We featured a bunch of people, you know, from patrons to volunteers to teachers, students, alumni. And one of the alumni that was not involved in the video, but who saw that, called me afterwards and was just thrilled to see it because he's in the middle of planning for his 30th high school reunion, and that's John Sparrow, who's a drummer, and he happens to be the drummer for the Violent Femmes, which is a Milwaukee band. A lot of folks are familiar with who the Violent Femmes are.
Big deal.
And when they performed on our stage a number of years back, and they were part of a rental tour that another presenter had them on a five-stop tour. We were one of those stops. And when they were here, John Sparrow, the alumni, was just so excited to be here. He wanted to go find his locker. Yeah. He wanted to do a drum workshop for our students, which he did. And he had lunch in the cafeteria. And it was a little trip down memory lane for him. And I think seeing that video, and that sparked a lot of happy memories for him. And it was great to hear from him. And I appreciate that he took the time to, you know, give it a shout.
Yeah, that video was great. I mean, that you showed up for the first time publicly at Glenn Miller?
We did a little preview of it at our season preview back in last spring, but we had a larger audience who saw it for the first time here right before Glenn Miller. Yes.
Yeah, there's something about digesting your story into 3 or 4 minutes, you know, to just put a real period, or maybe not a period, an ellipse on what, you know, has been accomplished here over 20 years. It just really gave a sense of a place and highlighted what some may see as commonplace, you know, the local Performing Arts Center, but just the impact that we've had and what it's meant for some of the people that you had in the video, just what it's
been. Right. Well, this place, I think when some of our students graduate and they go on to college and they may be part of the arts program at college. Some of them have come back and said, I didn't realize, you know, what I had here in high school. Our stage is far superior than what I have at my college. Mm-hmm. And so I do think we've been here for 20 years. It may sometimes feel commonplace to folks, but I do hope that none of us take this for granted because it isn't commonplace. A few high schools in the area have a performing arts center, but most do not. And it, you know, it does require time and energy to maintain, and the payoff for our students, in my opinion, has been huge. You know, I'm not a teacher, but I see the students rehearsing in here, performing in here, and how they grow and develop and build confidence over the years. Mm. And I hear from attendees, parents, you know, you see the pride that they have when they are leaving a concert and they're, you know, embracing their kid after a show and taking pictures, and grandma and grandpa are here, and they have those memories for years to come. And it's really great to see that. It warms my heart. And I know that sounds a little bit cliche, but it's been a great experience just to be a witness to all of that.
Yeah. We talked about it a little bit before, but the idea that, you know, all our grades have concerts here, especially in the spring, and to prepare for something in your school that you're used to, you know, one of our elementary schools, but then to come here and see your family staring back at you and to be in this big kind of special space, has to have an impact beyond what might have happened in their own cafeteria had they done it there, you know, just, and for high school students, I've seen the rehearsals and the level of expectations that our director expects, but it's emphasized by the space they're in. Yeah.
Right. It's special. It's designed for performance. You know, you're on an elevated stage, you're in an acoustically sound hall, you have lights on you. If you're on the stage, you are the focal point for the audience. Mm-hmm. The lights dim over the audience, so you can't necessarily see the audience when you're on the stage. And that can be a bit, unusual or uncomfortable even for some students. But you know that you are in this place to give your performance, and that people are watching you. Mm-hmm. And you can sort of see people transform when they're on the stage, and inevitably they rise to the occasion. And it's just a great place. I'm so proud of it.
Yeah. I mean, last fall I did the podcast about the play, and the student that you did, they did Clue, and the student that was Yvette, she did her accent for me on the podcast, goes French, obviously. And just the way the energy of those students just in my little office doing this podcast, and then, but to see them on stage after just transforming themselves and acting, and actually, I don't know that you know, no disrespect to the cafetorium, but I just don't know that they would get that experience.
It'd be a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that having this stage, it really, it's a platform, and it's really cool to see students who, you know, maybe they're soft spoken, and then they take the stage, and you have to be big, you have to be bold and loud, and you know, like I think you mentioned, somebody made a chandelier out of pool noodles, right?
Yeah, right.
And how odd that is, but as a prop. But because the stage is so big and you're at a distance in the audience, you know, things take on a larger than life sort of aspect when you're on the stage. So it's cool to see students embody that and really own their character and work alongside one another, whether it's, you know, building the set or assisting tech and putting on microphones and, you know, belt packs and getting costumes ready or applying makeup, doing all those things and coming together as a team under pressure. It's, you know, from nothing, a script and a lot of practice.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, and the community too. It just made me think that the dance choreographer, you know, is someone that just comes for the spring musical, and some employees here, but also residents come and perform with the orchestra in the pit.
Yes,
that the I've not encountered just in my time in schools a community that is all in on a performance like that in that way.
A lot of people want to be part of it, and you know, if you're a musician, if you're a dancer, if you're a singer, and you have the opportunity to give back as an adult in a way by volunteering your time, they want to. We've got a lot of people in our community who are volunteers here. And we've got, for example, our ushers who attend shows and, you know, take you to your seat or hand you a program. Mm-hmm. They want to be here. And so it takes all levels of involvement within the community for these shows to be successful.
They take it seriously too. When I was here for Glenn
yeah,
Miller, I was going to try and slip through the side door over there to get to my office. There's a volunteer block in the way, and that wasn't going to happen. So.
Some of them do take their role very seriously, and it's because they love this space. And, you know, sometimes I have to remind our volunteers that, you know, people are here and they, you know, they don't know, they're not supposed to. We prefer that they don't bring food in, for example, you know, coffees without lids, that kind of thing, because we want to keep it nice. And I think that's another reason what makes this space special. You know, if you're at a football game, if you're outdoors, you're used to bringing snacks in and, you know, munching along, you know, during the activity. Here, it's, I guess it's a bit more refined. It's supposed to be a bit more refined. And so for those reasons too, it's a different kind of experience when you come to the theater. Mm. So, and our volunteers really embody that too.
You'd mentioned the 20th, and I'd asked you what's on tap, but if you could talk about calendaring and how you integrate the school schedule in with what you've planned this year for the 20th.
Sure. Calendaring is a lot of what I do. I spend a lot of time on the Google calendar. Mm. All the school events go in first. We work with the music department and the other departments within the district to make sure that those cornerstone events, concerts, plays, musicals, those are all booked. And then we also have recurring renters, which I mentioned, add to the revenue that we have. And so those recurring renters, they also get kind of slotted in annually where they typically like to be. And then we also have our performing arts series of shows, which are the touring artists, and those also get scheduled in. And people will often ask me, well, can you get so-and-so? Or I'd like to see so-and-so. Can you bring such-and-such to the PAC? And I always track down those suggestions. I look into them. But sometimes what I think people may not realize is that oftentimes these artists aren't touring year round, or they're just not available. You know, I can't just call them up and say, can you come and perform on this day?
Yeah.
They might be only touring for 2 weeks at a time, or they might be touring just certain times of the year. And what we try to do here is get what we would call a routed fee. So rather than them flying in from, say, California or Europe or, you know, somewhere else for one show, we try to get them when they're on a tour of the Midwest so that the expense is less. We only have to pay for maybe one hotel room night instead of multiple, those kinds of things. So that helps us keep our performing artists' costs low.
Yeah, my wife and I were wondering we looked up where Glenn Miller Orchestra was going after, because they talked in their show about where they were traveling, and Rockford was the night after you. And then we were wondering about hotels and how they get paid and all that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of on you guys to help with. And then the summer you do the youth theater. I know it was Willy Wonka this year. Right?
Yeah, it used to be a recreation department program. So through the recreation department, and technically we're still part of them. But since we have this great facility now, the Performing Arts Center staff took that program over years ago, and now we have all the rehearsals and performances here in the theater. And obviously that just makes sense. But we serve anywhere between 100 and 120 students in the summer for two full musical productions. And yes, we did Willy Wonka and Little Mermaid. So we have one production for 6 to 11-year-olds and then another production for 12 to 18-year-olds. And those each run about 6 weeks during the summer. And we also have public performances for each of those shows.
I was going to say, the community I moved here from, close friends of ours, they were in youth theater. That youth theater ran out of an old converted church. So the experience, just the difference of that South Milwaukee is able to provide from something that a community that has a theater program but doesn't have the space available. It's just a stark difference. I wish, his name is Parker. I wish Parker could see this kind of theater.
Yeah.
Luckily, he got into a high school that had a magnet program for theater, so he may have a stage now. But growing up, if he had, he was in Willy Wonka. I don't think he was, but he was in Willy Wonka though. If he'd had this, it would have been really something for him.
Yeah, but I think if you're a theater kid, you're going to gravitate towards theater wherever you can find it, right? And we wish that we could open up our program and expand it to even more students, because sometimes we have to, you know, cut off the enrollment because we've got such a demand. But we do that because we only have so many spots in a in a show or in a production, because otherwise, you know, your chorus would be huge. So we want to make it worthwhile for students as well. So we, you know, and then for those youth theater programs, we also rely on some of our high school students as stage managers or dance captains, you know, also for tech and construction, those kinds of things. But it gives them an opportunity to be leaders and mentors to some of the younger kids too.
Yeah, that is so cool. You were telling me earlier that you stretch out into the community. Not a, not all of what South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center does requires people to come here, right?
Right. So we do outreach, and the outreach can take form in a lot of different ways. Over the summer, we sponsor some of the live bands that perform down at the South Milwaukee downtown market, the farmers market, on Thursday evenings. So I work with the folks down there, and we book the bands, and we pay the market for the bands that we sponsor. So we help support the cost. So whenever I hear, you know, free concert, I in my mind, I convert that word free to complimentary, because someone is paying for that, whether it's the PAC or a business or somebody else. The bands get paid as they should, because they've worked, you know, long and hard for those skills to entertain the crowd. But we do that, and we also reach out into senior living centers. So folks who may have been patrons here for years, or may have come from other communities, but who are residents at living centers in our area, we will take the performing arts to them and provide musical opportunities for their pleasure where they live. So outside of these walls. And we'll also do things like, we're providing a band for the South Milwaukee Fire Department spaghetti dinner later this month. And, actually that's tonight. That's tonight. So we try to support those kinds of activities that are of benefit to our immediate community. We are partially taxpayer supported, so we feel that's important to do. And, yeah, a lot of other outreach opportunities, when they arise, we try to get involved with as many as we can.
Well, and your technical skills, I mean, we talked about your technical director working with students here. Your marketing person has worked with me on logos and other, you know, artwork that needs to be digitized. And she's gone to countless meetings with me to work on an effort we're doing for the high school. And I just, booking shows or acts would be something that someone in the fire department might not be able to do as well as you could.
Well, we have an incredible staff. We have some part-time folks who help with some of those things. They do outreach. Brian Morrison is one of our part-time staff members. He does a lot of the outreach along with me. And we also work with an independent organization, which is the South Milwaukee Performing Arts Council. Mm-hmm. They're an all-volunteer 501c3, and they're primarily responsible for fundraising and advocacy. They don't have oversight of the theater per se, but they have a voice, and it's the voice of the community.
So they're the ones behind the 5K? Is that right?
Yeah, the Smart Walk Run. Right. And they did a golf outing recently, too, our first annual Chip for the Arts golf outing, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Yeah, and imagine that connects you with people that might not necessarily be theater folks that might want to give it a go.
Correct. And we had a great turnout for our first year, and there were a lot of former coaches, South Milwaukee coaches, and other families and friends who may not be regular theater goers who know about us, but we hope to sort of cross-pollinate there and bring some of those folks to shows and support their events as well.
So just kind of conclude, I mean, we're celebrating 20 years. What is on store for the next 20 years? Where does something like this go?
That's a great question. Well, I plan to be here only for part of the next 20 years. As I approach retirement, I'm not ready for that yet. I love what I do. But I really see a bright future ahead for South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center. And one of the things I want to touch on today is we have a number of people in the community who are extremely generous. And with the help of the council and guidance from a financial advisor and other people in the community, the council is establishing an endowment fund for the Performing Arts Center. And
that is a long-term view.
It's a long-term commitment, but there's a very good start there. And the endowment isn't ready. It's not at a point now where we can just stop fundraising.
Right.
But, you know, and with inflation and everything, it's going to be a bit because the needs are going to increase. But what we hope to do with that is to provide a sustainable source for at least part of the funding for future programming. And that should be available within that next 20-year time period, hopefully, you know, closer to 10.
Yeah.
It's a long-term project, obviously, but if we don't start planning for that now, it'll never happen.
Well, yeah, 10 years go by and you'll have nothing.
Right, so,
yeah.
But 10 years go by and we'll have something. And that's really exciting to me because I know how hard everybody has worked to get us to this point. And I know how hard it is to, you know, manage the fundraisers and get those contributions flowing. So having this will be a little bit of a help down the road. So that's exciting. I think that there's some great energy right now among our teaching staff, our music department, our theater department. There's a lot of energy there, and I think that's going to continue to build. I think that, you know, post-COVID, audiences are coming back to the theater. They want the entertainment. They want to get out and socialize. So we're a place for that as well, and I think we'll continue to be for quite a long time. And we've learned a lot, and I really am excited to see what can be happening over the next 20.
Well, Rachel Abraham, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being on the podcast. It's a lovely conversation.
Thank you, Dan. It's been wonderful.
Well, and thank you to our listeners. Thanks for tuning in and hearing about the Performing Arts Center. On October 22nd, the high school choir will be performing at the Arts Center from 7 p.m. to 8:30. And in November, the end of November before break, November 15th, 16th, and 17th, our thespians will be showing the high school play Little Women from 7:30 to 9 at the South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center. That's on Friday and Saturday, and on Sunday there'll be a matinee at 2 p.m. Definitely check out the South Milwaukee Public Arts Center calendar, It is available through the district website. It can be also found on the Recreation Department website. It is southmilwaukeepac.org. There's a calendar of events. It's a place to buy tickets, especially for the fall play is a ticketed event. And the next event that is not student related is October 23rd, Some Enchanted Evening at 7:30. You can buy tickets online. Again, thanks to Rachel Abraham for being on here, and thanks to you for listening, and we will see you next time.